Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bible, stay in James, and look at chapter 5. James in chapter 5, I want to share just another verse here to double up what Pastor Bill just got through reading about the fact that our life is short, that it's fragile, that, you know what, there's no promise of tomorrow, not here in this earth. This last week I did a funeral for a little baby, a little Grayson. He's now in heaven. Nobody expects babies to die. No one expects toddlers to die. No one expects teenagers to die. No one expects young adults to die. Everybody thinks they're going to go the full 70 and if by strength, 40 and even get some more. Nobody's really expecting their life to be short, but it's fragile. We need to understand that. And here's the deal. If you're going to serve God, you got to get at it right now. Right now is harvest time. With that in mind, look at the fifth chapter of the book of James. James in chapter 5. And look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. James here is telling these New Testament Christians, be patient for the coming of the Lord. I know that Jesus has not come yet, but he's going to come very soon. And the only thing that has kept back the trumpet of God and the return, the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ, the only thing that has held that back is more souls are being saved. And God knows who that last person is that's going to get saved. And then the trumpet's going to sound and God is going to call us home by way of the rapture. Come tonight, hear some prophecy preaching with the big chart up front. And we'll continue in that series, the second sermon in that series. This last week, I heard of a preacher that said that in our area, the rapture is a hoax. I'm thinking, man, you are fulfilling Bible prophecy without even understanding it. Jesus said, Peter said, in the last days, there'd be scoffers. Say, wait, where is the second coming? Where is the coming of the Lord? You know, it hasn't happened up to this point. It ain't ever going to happen. That kind of thing. I've got a very practical message I want to preach this morning. If you would start by taking your Bibles and going to the Gospel of Matthew, that would be a big help. Mark. Mark in chapter 14. We're going to look at probably four passages of Scripture, and I hope to challenge you today by way of the Scripture for the month of July. Last Sunday morning was the July charge. July challenge. And I hope, and some of you know what that was. Some of you forgot about it. You didn't even go, you didn't do anything about it. But some of you, I know a lot of you have kept right up, and God bless you. And I'm going to add to that just another practical message. And then we're going to kind of move on next Sunday morning. But I want to give you a charge as a New Testament local church and as the pastor, the under-shepherd of this New Testament assembly. I want to charge you as children of God to get some things done in your life. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I start with a story. I shared it with you on Wednesday night, Jim, after church. If you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you know who, and I'm not, but it's a good story. It's a true story. So I share it with you because it kind of flows, right, dovetails right into what I want to preach this morning. If you're a real Green Bay Packer fan, you know who Jerry Kramer is. That's from my, you know, my lifetime, my younger life, and I knew who Jerry Kramer was, and probably you do as well. You know who Bart Starr is. Of course, you know who Vince Lombardi is. Man, it just hurts me to even name these names in my pulpit. But being the Detroit Lion fan that I am, but truth. And a timeout was called. It was a cold weather game. This was back in the back in the early '60s and mid '60s, I guess it was. Vince Lombardi, Coach Lombardi, called a timeout. They came over to the sideline. He went out to the huddle. He said, "We're one touchdown away from the Super Bowl." He said, "Star." Looking at his quarterback, Bart Starr, "You're going to carry the ball." Looked over at Jerry Kramer, said, "Jerry Kramer, you're going to open the hole. Can you open the hole?" And it said that everybody in the huddle knew they were going to score a touchdown just by the look in Jerry Kramer's eye. And he shook his head. Huddle broke, got up to the line of scrimmage, cadence, snapped the ball. Starr kept the ball himself. Big pile of humanity. On the bottom of that humanity was Jerry Kramer. He had opened the hole just enough for the nose of the ball to get over. In fact, there's a little controversy on whether he really got in the end zone. But anyway, that's another thing. That's a Detroit Lion fan talking right there, right? And at any rate, at the bottom of the pile, Jerry Kramer, bloodied and bruised and being suffocated by the humanity that was on top of him, could hear the crowd going crazy. And he knew that they'd scored that needed touchdown. When everybody finally got off of him, he got up onto one knee, bruised and battered and bloodied, and looked over to the sideline, and they were carrying Bart Starr on their shoulders down the sideline. And the crowd was going crazy. And he said, for just a moment, a tinge of, that's not right, went through his body. But then he realized and he remembered real quickly, it's a team game. And we're going to the Super Bowl. And he stood to his feet, got to his feet very gingerly. The game is over. Pretty much everybody's left. They're carrying Bart Starr off the field. And he looked down to the other end of that same sideline, and there was a solitary figure in a long overcoat with a hat pulled down over his ears and thick glasses. And it was Coach Lombardi. And their eyes met. He was standing there by himself, Kramer standing in the end zone by himself. And Coach Lombardi looked over to him, gave him the thumbs up. That's all Jerry Kramer needed. Oh, to please our Heavenly Father. Doesn't matter about the crowd. Doesn't matter who's getting the glory. To have the Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man, that's what it's about. And you know, the crowd may go this direction, may go that direction, may turn their back on God, may get all caught up in some cultural thing over here, some cultural thing way out in left field. But to please the Savior, oh, that's where it's at. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark in chapter 14 if you're not there already. I've got four things I want to throw at you this morning. It's not a textual message. It's four different texts. And I think I said this a week ago Sunday. Man, I am not comfortable preaching this way. And I never have been where I just jump off and go from one text to another text to another text. I like to just kind of plant in one text and preach that text. That's my kind of preaching. It's called textual preaching. And I know I keep everything in the context that way. And then use other verses as support verses, but stay in one place. But we're going to look at four passages of Scripture this morning. And the first one is Mark and chapter 14. And look at verse 30 to start. Look at verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives, into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended of me because of me this night. For it is written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Listen, he's talking about Gethsemane. He's talking about Calvary. And after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter said unto him, rough and rugged Peter, ready to do the job for God physically, whatever was needed. Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Sometimes we talk bigger than we are. Peter said, hey, not me. Everybody else may turn tail tonight, Jesus, but you can count on me. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he spake more than vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Now they were all talking big. Said, Jesus, you can count on us. Peter said, even if I die, man, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Turn the page in your Bible and look at verse 66. Verse 54, Peter, in the heavy night air, is already denying Christ. And he ran. And now he's trying to warm himself just outside the palace by a fire, trying to find some comfort. He didn't totally leave Jesus. He was near him. But truly, when it came time to speak up for him, he forsook him. I want to ask you to do something as a member of Fundamental Baptist Church or an attender. Look this way before we read any more scripture. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't blush to speak his name. Grow some spiritual backbone. Don't be someone that just kind of blends in, like Peter around the fire, trying to warm himself, trying to find some comfort. Jesus is over there going through a mock trial. And Peter, oh, he hasn't totally left God. He's nearby. He's within earshot. But he's over here and he's with the unsaved. And when he has opportunity to speak the name of Jesus and identify with Jesus Christ in an unsaved crowd, Peter caves. Three times he caves. Three times. And then the rooster crows that second time and Peter remembers the words of Jesus. Now, I want to say this to Peter's credit. He caved then, but he didn't cave anymore after that. He did grow a little spiritual backbone. The angels told the women, remember what he told the women? Go tell the disciples and Peter that he is not here. That he has risen just like he said he would rise. Peter turned into a stick of spiritual dynamite. But he caved. Let's read on here. Look at verse 66. Peter was beneath in the palace. There cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Fast forward to the year 2018. Oh, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? Hey, you go to Fundamental Baptist Church, don't you? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. He denied Christ, stepped away from the fire, and the rooster crowed. Peter remembered what Jesus said. Verse 69, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, hey, this is one of them. This guy's a Christian. This is one of those people that go to that church over there. They don't drink, you know, and they dress conservative, and they're really weird. This is one of those kind of people. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Now, his accent, his brogue, it was kind of giving him away. Would to God that our speech would give away the fact that we're Christians. Would to God that we talk like a born-again New Testament Christian instead of blending in by the fireside, being part of the world. Verse 71, but he began to curse. Look out for the backslider as he gets away from God, the true Christian that falls farther from God. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Now he's denying Jesus Christ altogether. This rugged fisherman, this man's man, had become a coward. Verse 72 says, and the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to his mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, this rugged man wept. He had denied the one who loved him more than anyone else in this world. The miracle worker. The Son of God. He heard words from Jesus' lips like he'd never heard before. That was said of Jesus time and again. And he denied him. Don't be a coward. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. That makes me want to be ashamed of you. I'm ashamed. I look back at times in my life, I'm ashamed of how I acted or reacted. Grow a little spiritual backbone. There's something that happened in Perry, Ohio. It would have been, and I'm going to need help in the year. And Jeremy's here this morning. Jeremy, what year were you a senior? You don't remember what year you were a senior? Think about it. 2001. And that was the year that I took you and Josh down to that football clinic, am I right? In Perry, Ohio? And it was a double wing football clinic? I think that was 99. Okay, the year before. So you've been a junior. Okay, no problem. Doesn't change the story. All right, so we go down to this double wing football clinic. We brought a couple of ball players, and it was really for coaches, but I decided to bring some guys that I knew were going to be leaders, and we were young that year, And anyway, the clinic's over. We're going down the main street of Perry, Ohio. Glory to God for country boys. I got to say that. And coaches are in the front. Those two young men are in the back, Jeremy and Josh. And they're country boys, man. They're from Rudyard, Michigan. You know, they wear flannel shirts and, you know, swampers, and that's as stylish as they get, man. They're country boys. We're going down the street. Well, coaches, we're talking in the front. It's hot. The windows are down. And there's a group of guys walking down the street, and they got the SAG going. You know, remember how popular that was? Some people don't know that. That's not really popular anymore, and you still see it. But they got the SAG going. And one of the young men, and Jeremy, you can claim to be the guy. It was you or Josh. I don't know which one it was. Roll the window down. We're talking. There's a group of guys walking down the street, and we're right next to them, going by them, and one of them from the back seat yells out, "Hey, pull up your pants!" And I'm thinking, glory to God for country boys. And I knew we were going to be all right that year, even though we were young. And we were. We were all right that year. You can know that you're going to be all right. Why don't you just get close to Jesus? Why don't you get to the place where you determine, I'm going to live for God. It doesn't matter about the culture. What matters is their souls. I want to win them to Christ, but I'm not going to get all caught up in that. I'm not a little small-minded lemming that just kind of follows along with the crowd. Man, I'm not going to get there. That's not me. I got to share one more story, and then I'm going to come right back to another text. The parade, 4th of July. I shared this in Sunday school. I'm going to make a real short version of it. Going by, there was one of the floats. I wasn't there. We were on another float, but behind us, I saw the float. There was a float with a rainbow, flag, and some men wearing dresses. Right, and that group is getting just a little bit bigger every year. Glory to God. One of the young men from our church. I mean, young men. I mean, elementary school age young men. When the float went by, they stood out in the street and said, "What's wrong with you guys?" It's just common sense to stand for the truth. You need to know this. Everything is going to be all right if you just get to the place as a child of God, because this world is all backwards. If you get to the place as a child of God, well, you're not ashamed of Christ. I want to say this and take it to heart. Because I have been where you are right now. If you as a child of God can sin openly and you're not ashamed of it, something's not right. Something's wrong right in here. And yet you're ashamed of Jesus? Uh-oh. I'm not telling you you're not born again, but that's not how a born again person is. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be that person. That person that is ashamed to pray before he eats in a public restaurant. That person that has no time for the things of God when they get with their peers. Ashamed to speak, ashamed to bring Jesus into the conversation. Man, don't be there. Hang on to your Bible. Very important. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This real quick is just kind of preaching to the choir. I know that and you know that, but let me get this in here because there are people that have left the Word of God, and I'm really concerned about that. I woke up, talk about spiritual battles going on. As a pastor, I think, I'm not any smarter than you. I'm not smarter than, Pastor Bill isn't either, by the way. I want you to know, I don't know where his IQ is, but you know, we're kind of in the same strata, right? The stratosphere right there, down here, right down here somewhere. But there's a spiritual battle going on. And you know what? I woke up this morning fearful. Like, I'm saying, God, what's that about? Take this fear out of my heart. It's like something's going on that we don't yet know about. And I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not doing that. But I've never had that feeling before. And I had to spend some real time with God. Now, I'm not fearful right now. And fearful might not be the right word, but that's the word I was using in my prayers. I said, God, is something happening I'm not aware of? Is spiritually something happening in somebody's life that I'd be concerned about? Or, what's going on? If you were here several Sunday mornings ago on that message on angels, you've got to know there is a spiritual battle going on right now. And one thing you've got to do is you've got to hang on to your Bible. Hang on to your Bible. Don't set it aside. And by the way, don't call yourself a biblicist. You say, oh, I love the Word of God, but you didn't read it? You don't love the Word of God. You know you're supposed to love the Word of God, but you're not loving it right now. Psalm 119. Look at verse 97. Let's go over to verse 97. We're going to look at the whole passage, but look at verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. The enemy is always there, but God gives wisdom for life in the Word of God. We're not without an anchor. We're not without a compass. We're not without a life raft. We've got the Word of God. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy wisdom, or for thy testimonies are my meditation. I'm smarter than my peers. It's because of the Word of God. I understand more than the ancients because I keep, he walks it, I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. It keeps me from sin. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. You say nothing's better than God's word. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Hang on to your Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Hold to the Scriptures. Last Sunday morning's challenge of 8 chapters a day in order to get through the New Testament in the month of July, if you're hanging in there, if you're just a little behind, catch up, man. Don't get overwhelmed. Catch up. If you're a little bit ahead, glory to God. But up until yesterday, you ought to be at Mark and chapter 12. That's where you ought to be if you're reading 8 chapters a day. And if you go through today through this Sunday, it's Mark and chapter 20. Man, get at it. Man, get in the Word of God. It's like I told you last Sunday night, if you're reading, you may not even be picking up everything that you're reading, but here's what's going on. You got all kinds of cracks in your life. There's all kinds of pitfalls being formed in your life. And those cracks make you weak. But if you're reading the Word of God, it's like when you're being saturated in the Scripture, it's like it's filling in all the cracks. And you're strengthened. And you walk and your head's up tall. And you walk and your shoulders are back. And you stand for God. And God strengthens you. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It is now no accident. And if we as a New Testament church could read through the New Testament in the month of July, I'm telling you, and maybe that's what's going on. Maybe that was an uneasy feeling this morning. Because so many people are doing it, the devil has taken notice. And if that's the case, you don't want to be one of the ones not doing it. Because you're the one that's away from the flock a little bit. You know, kind of strayed away. And if the devil has taken notice, you say, preacher, are you trying to scare us? Yeah, I am. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. And I practice what I preach. I am to Luke and chapter 28 right now. I'm ahead of it. And you know, just read a little bit here during the day, a little bit there during the day. I'm ahead of the game. And the reason I'm ahead of it, I feel like as a leader, I'm trying to do more, all right? Doesn't make me any more spiritual. Renew that challenge. You say, oh, pastor, I'm a little bit behind. Catch up. No better way to fall asleep than with the Bible hitting you on the chest. No better way to fall asleep. Well, you finally got to say, just close your Bible and say, good night, Jesus. See you in the morning. You know, well, you've read as much as you can read. Man, you talk about sleeping a sleep of sweet peace. Man, that's where it's at. Hang on to your Bible. Hold to the King James. Stay away from the Alexandrian tree of manuscripts. Critical thinking, the critical text, that's not where you want to be. And in case you're a newcomer and you don't understand this, every new and modern version of the Bible is translated from the critical text. It's the biggest curveball the devil ever threw at the church. It's a stroke of geniusness on his part. Dilute the Scripture. Dilute the Word of God. People will still be nice people, but they're not going to grow like they ought to grow. Man, hold to the majority text. There's only one translation of the Scripture taken from the majority text, the Textus Receptus, and it's the good old King James Bible, who's written in exact English, a whole lot different than a lot of the diluting that's going on today. Hold on to your Bible. Stay in the local church. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Oh man, I'm out of time. Acts chapter 2. One verse. Just the beginning of one verse. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, the church is born, the Holy Spirit has come, 3,000 souls saved, 3,000 people added unto the church, and they, continuing daily in the temple. That church got to be 25,000 people strong in the city of Jerusalem in a short matter of time. They went to church every day. Every day. It wasn't just the Lord's Day. That's when they took the offering, first day of the week. But it was every day of the week. They were full-time Christians, 24/7. Some of them had jobs. I don't know if they had service in the morning, service at night. I don't know, but I mean, it was they were there. They were like David of old. They were fiercely loyal to the assembly of God's people. Hold on to the church. The devil's doing all he can to minimize it. Last thing is simply this. God will never let you down. Now, I know this isn't a real good, alliterated sermon outline. I know that. It's simple. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Grow a backbone. Hang on to your Bible. Man, plant both feet in the Word of God. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Man, be there for one another. And if you do those things, God will never let you down. God will never let you down. Psalm 37, 37th Psalm. I'll just read a single verse. I can't do it. Got to read three verses. I'm over time. Three verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, man, I was once a young man serving God. Now I'm an old man serving God. And I'll tell you one thing I know for sure. God has never let any child of God down. I've never yet seen his servant begging bread. I've seen others begging, but not God's servant. God will never let you down. What a great promise. Okay, we started out with two passages of Scripture. Simply said this, time is short. Life is fragile. Jesus is coming again. Went to just four very practical things. If you're someone that's living a life, listen, teenagers, I remember what it was like to be a teenager. I remember how hard it was to take a stand amongst my peers. I remember how hard it was to say, no, I don't do that. But I did it. I remember how hard it was. So I'm not pretending it's the easy, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world to do, but I'll tell you, you're going to face a lot harder battles than that. I'll guarantee you that. Whew. But that peer pressure, and don't be ashamed of Christ. Please, don't be ashamed of him. Hang on to your Bible. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Be faithful to the New Testament local church. That's God's idea. If you'll do these things, God will never let you down. He will never, ever forsake you. He will never let you down. If he tarries 25 years and I'm dead and gone and others are dead and gone, gone on home to heaven, and you're an old man, you're an old woman, you'll be able to say, if you followed God, he never disappointed me. He never forsook me. He never let me down.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.